Exame Final Nacional de Inglês, Prova 550,
Época Especial,
Ensino Secundário 2022,
11º ano de escolaridade, continuação, Bienal. Vai agora realizar a parte A da prova, compreensão do oral. Escute com muita atenção e siga as instruções. Mesmo que não compreenda alguma palavra ou frase, continue a resolver a prova e mantenha-se em silêncio. A parte A da prova é composta por 7 itens relativos a 2 textos, texto 1 e texto 2. Antes de ouvir cada texto, dispõe de alguns segundos para ler os respectivos itens. Vai ouvir cada texto 2 vezes. Enquanto estiver a ouvir, pode anotar as suas respostas no enunciado. Lembre-se de que terá de as registar posteriormente na folha de respostas. Dispõe de alguns segundos no final de cada audição para registar e verificar as suas respostas. Atenção, toda a prova será em inglês. Vire agora a página do enunciado para dar início à parte A da prova, compreensão do oral.
Text 1. You will hear 3 teenagers talking about school canteens. For item 1, match the names Amanda, John or Kylie in column A with the ideas they express in column B. All the ideas apply once. On your answer sheet, write only the names and the numbers. Now, read the ideas in column B. You have 25 seconds to read them. Now, listen. Amanda.
I know it's not easy for big schools like mine to meet everyone's tastes. There are so many students from different countries that it would be great to have more variety on the menu. Think about it. It could even be a fun and interesting way to get students to eat healthier food. Most of us couldn't care less about eating a balanced meal. Who can blame us? Many of us don't have healthy eating habits at home, and then, at school, the main dishes are plain and tasteless. It's so unimaginative and uninspiring, which means, in the end, so much goes to waste. You know what I'd like to do? We could have a go at growing some of our own food, maybe in greenhouses or vegetable gardens. Then, maybe students would learn how to appreciate it more.
John.
Students here hate school dinners. There are so many rules, and there is basically no variety. To make things worse, the canteen is way too crowded, and the queues are insane. Most of us just want to eat quickly and have some time left to hang out. That's impossible in 30 minutes. So, we end up leaving food on our plates. But what can we do about it? I don't really know. I also think it's better for students to discover what they love to eat instead of just eating what they're told to, which sometimes happens at school. If you're forced to do something, you don't learn how to decide for yourself. On the other hand, if you leave it all up to us, we'd probably eat chips every day.
Kylie.
Although I consider myself lucky in my school, I know that canteens can be a huge headache. Many parents don't encourage healthy eating habits, and many students reject the food in canteens, and not necessarily because they're picky. Some of them might have other restrictions. Take vegetarians like me. I'm a member of the school garden club, and we grow our own vegetables. Some of us prefer to eat organic food only. It's not easy, I know, but it's possible. We have even opened a salad bar, which gives us more choices. We can't always blame adults. We can take action too. Why not get students to send in their own recipes? Getting involved has helped change habits. Longer lunch periods would also help. We have about an hour and it gives us time to enjoy our meal and catch up with friends.
Listen again. Amanda.
I know it's not easy for big schools like mine to meet everyone's tastes. There are so many students from different countries that it would be great to have more variety on the menu. Think about it. It could even be a fun and interesting way to get students to eat healthier food. Most of us couldn't care less about eating a balanced meal. Who can blame us? Many of us don't have healthy eating habits at home, and then, at school, the main dishes are plain and tasteless. It's so unimaginative and uninspiring, which means, in the end, so much goes to waste. You know what I'd like to do? We could have a go at growing some of our own food, maybe in greenhouses or vegetable gardens. Then, maybe students would learn how to appreciate it more.
John.
Students here hate school dinners. There are so many rules, and there is basically no variety. To make things worse, the canteen is way too crowded, and the queues are insane. Most of us just want to eat quickly and have some time left to hang out. That's impossible in 30 minutes. So, we end up leaving food on our plates. But what can we do about it? I don't really know. I also think it's better for students to discover what they love to eat instead of just eating what they're told to, which sometimes happens at school. If you're forced to do something, you don't learn how to decide for yourself. On the other hand, if you leave it all up to us, we'd probably eat chips every day.
Kylie.
Although I consider myself lucky in my school, I know that canteens can be a huge headache. Many parents don't encourage healthy eating habits, and many students reject the food in canteens, and not necessarily because they're picky. Some of them might have other restrictions. Take vegetarians like me. I'm a member of the school garden club, and we grow our own vegetables. Some of us prefer to eat organic food only. It's not easy, I know, but it's possible. We have even opened a salad bar, which gives us more choices. We can't always blame adults. We can take action too. Why not get students to send in their own recipes? Getting involved has helped change habits. Longer lunch periods would also help. We have about an hour and it gives us time to enjoy our meal and catch up with friends.
That is the end of the listening of text 1. Text 2. You will hear a debate about how we can keep healthy in the 21st century without putting more strain on the environment. For items 2.1 to 2.6, choose the correct option, A, B, or C. On your answer sheet, write only the numbers and the letters. You have 1 minute to read the items. Now, listen. Dr. Janice Abbott and Dr. Adam Green. Our question today, how to be healthy without putting more strain on the environment? Dr. Abbott.
Well, that's too broad a question. So let's narrow it down to the debate on food. Never before have so many people had so much to choose from. Even though in many countries there is no access to reliable data about food, there are plenty of options if you want to lead a healthy lifestyle.
Dr. Green, do you agree?
Well, if we're talking about the products available, that is true. Diversity is a reality in developed countries. But does that mean the population in general eats healthily? According to the World Health Organization, about 1.9 billion adults are overweight or obese, while 462 million are underweight and 70 million people have an eating disorder. This leads to malnutrition and deficiencies. It also means widespread excesses and imbalances in people's diets. That's not a good indicator of health.
That's a fact, Dr. Green. We live in a world full of imbalances. But focusing on developed countries, we cannot deny that we have all we need for a balanced diet.
Dr. Abbott, we must always keep developing countries in mind as well, although the priorities there might be somewhat different. A diverse or alternative diet is not yet an issue there. Having said that, I'd also like to emphasise that I actually think many young people in developed countries nowadays are increasingly aware of the impact of their eating habits. I dare say more so than many adults. And not only the impact on their health, but also on the environment. That's why many of them have turned to alternative eating lifestyles, such as vegetarianism or veganism.
What do you think, Dr. Abbott?
Yes. One of the reasons is the environmental footprint left by livestock farming. I'm not suggesting we should all go vegetarian or vegan, but the issue here is to concentrate on how society can learn to eat healthily without further damaging the environment.
True. That is a huge challenge, considering that population growth means the number of mouths we will need to feed in coming decades will increase, and that food output is threatened by climate change and other global ecological stresses.
Indeed. But I believe we have the tools to deal with it all. We can now genetically modify plants so they become more resistant. GMO crops can help reduce poverty and hunger in an increasingly populous world, while also contributing to better nutrition. Nowadays, we can produce everything we need in a lab.
Are we on shaky ground, Dr. Green? What do you think?
I wouldn't go that far. To begin with, it's true that in the future, we'll need to grow more food than ever. But what about organic produce? There's a common misconception that it is not up to the task. Yet, organic methods can produce competitive crops, and we know that they generate fewer emissions as well as being much better for the soil.
You're saying you don't agree with genetic modification in this case?
I'm saying I am open to all the options as long as they are effective and safe. We must be careful and avoid getting carried away by the rapid outcomes of new methods without studying their effects.
Dr. Green, there is no real need for alarm or for us to adopt alternative eating lifestyles. Technology has developed considerably in recent years, which may help us avoid destroying the environment even more. Thorough testing of GMOs is consistently carried out, and there's been no evidence of ill effects linked to consumption of any approved GM crop.
Are these solutions enough?
Not if people are not educated to follow a healthy diet. Food choices are a leading cause of mortality. People must become more aware of their options.
There's no doubt that having a balanced diet is an important part of maintaining good health while contributing to a safer environment.
Well, I'm so sorry, but we're out of time. Thank you both. Listen again. Dr. Janice Abbott and Dr. Adam Green. Our question today, how to be healthy without putting more strain on the environment? Dr. Abbott.
Well, that's too broad a question. So let's narrow it down to the debate on food. Never before have so many people had so much to choose from. Even though in many countries there is no access to reliable data about food, there are plenty of options if you want to lead a healthy lifestyle.
Dr. Green, do you agree?
Well, if we're talking about the products available, that is true. Diversity is a reality in developed countries. But does that mean the population in general eats healthily? According to the World Health Organization, about 1.9 billion adults are overweight or obese, while 462 million are underweight and 70 million people have an eating disorder. This leads to malnutrition and deficiencies. It also means widespread excesses and imbalances in people's diets. That's not a good indicator of health.
That's a fact, Dr. Green. We live in a world full of imbalances. But focusing on developed countries, we cannot deny that we have all we need for a balanced diet.
Dr. Abbott, we must always keep developing countries in mind as well, although the priorities there might be somewhat different. A diverse or alternative diet is not yet an issue there. Having said that, I'd also like to emphasise that I actually think many young people in developed countries nowadays are increasingly aware of the impact of their eating habits. I dare say more so than many adults. And not only the impact on their health, but also on the environment. That's why many of them have turned to alternative eating lifestyles, such as vegetarianism or veganism.
What do you think, Dr. Abbott?
Yes. One of the reasons is the environmental footprint left by livestock farming. I'm not suggesting we should all go vegetarian or vegan, but the issue here is to concentrate on how society can learn to eat healthily without further damaging the environment.
True. That is a huge challenge, considering that population growth means the number of mouths we will need to feed in coming decades will increase, and that food output is threatened by climate change and other global ecological stresses.
Indeed. But I believe we have the tools to deal with it all. We can now genetically modify plants so they become more resistant. GMO crops can help reduce poverty and hunger in an increasingly populous world, while also contributing to better nutrition. Nowadays, we can produce everything we need in a lab.
Are we on shaky ground, Dr. Green? What do you think?
I wouldn't go that far. To begin with, it's true that in the future, we'll need to grow more food than ever. But what about organic produce? There's a common misconception that it is not up to the task. Yet, organic methods can produce competitive crops, and we know that they generate fewer emissions as well as being much better for the soil.
You're saying you don't agree with genetic modification in this case?
I'm saying I am open to all the options as long as they are effective and safe. We must be careful and avoid getting carried away by the rapid outcomes of new methods without studying their effects.
Dr. Green, there is no real need for alarm or for us to adopt alternative eating lifestyles. Technology has developed considerably in recent years, which may help us avoid destroying the environment even more. Thorough testing of GMOs is consistently carried out, and there's been no evidence of ill effects linked to consumption of any approved GM crop.
Are these solutions enough?
Not if people are not educated to follow a healthy diet. Food choices are a leading cause of mortality. People must become more aware of their options.
There's no doubt that having a balanced diet is an important part of maintaining good health while contributing to a safer environment.
Well, I'm so sorry, but we're out of time. Thank you both. Now check your answers. That is the end of the listening of text 2. That is the end of part A.